Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's first session on native and distributed machine learning with Apache Mahout. Our speaker today is Sunil Marathi from Red Hat. Please give a big round of applause and we'll begin with the session.
Hear me? Okay. So thanks everyone for coming here today. So this talk is going to be a little heavy on math and linear algebra. So at any time you feel that it's getting weighed over your head, feel free to raise your hand and I'll move on. So about me, I work in the Red Hat Office of Technology as a principal engineer focused on analytics and data science. I'm a member of Apache Software Foundation working on Mahout. In the past, I was the PMC chair of Mahout. And so the agenda for today would be, what is Apache Mahout? How many of you here have heard about Mahout? Yeah. And what is Mahout Samsara? And we'll look at some of the basics of what Samsara offers. And how does it work under the covers? And we'll be having two demos in Zeppelin notebooks. One is about eigenfaces, and the other one is about a simple OLS algorithm in Flink and Mahout, in Flink and Spark. So Apache Mahout was founded back in 2008, and it was distributed computing on MapReduce, and Sean was one of the first committers on the project back then. And since 2014, we were kind of in a reboot mode. How do we see ourselves in the future now that MapReduce is kind of, you know, waning down, and with the advent of Spark and Flink and other distributed computing engines, how do we redefine this project and what do we do? What is it that we can offer that can differentiate us from the other machine learning libraries out there? So what we came up with was, what data scientists would need is a linear algebra library that can, wherein you can prototype algorithms real quick, try it out and tear it down and try a different algorithm. And basically we offer a foundation of math libraries, distributed math libraries, wherein, which is useful for linear, data scientists to spin up algorithms. So we currently support H2O and Spark as of April 2015. And we had a VectorMath DSL library released in August 2015, 0.11 release. And we added Flink as a backend execution engine early this year with a 0.12 release in April. And we have a book that was published early this year by two of the Mahout committers. It's Apache Mahout Beyond MapReduce. And I have a copy of the book here. So the book is available on Amazon. So definitely go and get a book. And what's coming is we have support for native backends. So we have support coming in for GPU and CPU hybrid optimizations. And we see ourselves today as a big math library, not as a machine learning library, but more of a big math library for machine learning and deep learning. So Mahout Samsara, what is Mahout Samsara? So when we were rebooting the project, we kind of came up with the idea of having a distributed linear algebra library. And they had asked me, so what do you want to call this? Since this is Mahout is from India, it's a Hindu name, why don't you come up with some Sanskrit name for algebra? And I started looking around, and the Sanskrit for algebra is called Ganita. I was just looking at GitHub. There was a project from one of the startups. They had a math library, and the math library was Mahout Math, and they called themselves Ganita. So we had two options. Either we pretend that I have never seen that project and, you know, just go with it, just go with Ganita, or be good citizens of GitHub and, you know, come up with a different name. So one of the guys came up with this name Samsara, which is also Sanskrit. And what is Samsara? Samsara is something ephemeral. You can create something and tear it down, create something and tear it down. So it's kind of ephemeral. So that's what is Samsara. So Samsara today is an easy to use domain-specific language for large-scale machine learning. Think of it as R. If you're from the R programming world, most data scientists are from the R programming world. Think of it as a distributed R. You can use the same R syntax and semantics in a Scala DSL distributed. And we look at some examples here. For example, if you look at this expression here, this is how you would code this in Samsara. So any idea, any R programmers here? Anyone familiar with R? What does this mean? The symbol here. It's a matrix multiply, element wise. So this B dot TS, it's a transpose of the matrix B. And that's a dot product and that's a cross product. So folks who are familiar with R would see this, it would make sense to this, make sense of this. We also have an optimizer for the distributed linear algebra, which kind of translates this. This is the logical view. It kind of translates that, optimizes that for the backend execution engines. And we'll look at some examples of this. So some of the basics of Samsara. So we have basic data types like we have real values. That's how we declare a real value. It's all Scala syntax. It's Scala based. And we have in-memory vectors, which are dense and sparse. So yeah, that's how you create a dense vector D. Then dense vector has a prefix of D, dvec. And svec is a sparse vector. And that's how you create a sparse vector. Similarly, we have in-memory matrices, which are dense and sparse. So that's a dense vector, and you have a sparse vector version two. I'll rush through these few slides. And the one thing that we do have that none of the other machine learning frameworks have is a distributed row matrix. It's kind of like a huge matrix. That is, you partition the huge matrix by rows, and it's distributed, chunks of it are distributed across the cluster, spread across the cluster. And you can do a subset of the operations that you would regularly do on an in-memory matrix. You can only do a subset of those operations on this matrix. And you can do a matrix and a vector multiply in memory with a distributed row matrix multiply and a couple of other operations we look at. So these are some of the features. So when you see the prefix of DRM, it means it's a distributed row matrix. It's distributed across the cluster. It's not an in-memory matrix. So here you can do a matrix DRM, DRM multiply. That's the first example. The second example is an in-memory matrix A, and you can multiply that with a vector X. Small, if you see the small letters, it's a vector, and if you see a capital letter, it's a matrix. And the third example is A transpose multiplied by a distributed row matrix B. And this is a simple matrix multiply, A times B. You can also, when you have a matrix, you can also slice and dice the matrix, column-wise and row-wise. So this example here, the matrix A, rows 5 until 20 and 3 until 40 columns. So you get a subset of the matrix, you get a small part of the matrix. For the second syntax, if you're familiar with this R, any idea what this means? It's a row 5, all the columns in row 5. And the very next example is row 5 and column 5, just the element from row 5 and column 5. And the last example is a vector, A to B. You get elements, you get all the values from positions A to B. So you can also do assignments. So for example, I can assign all the columns in row 5, the value of X. And some of these assignments will work only for in-memory matrices, not for DRMs, because you cannot scale this for a distributed row matrix. You can do A times B, which is assign that value back to A. And you can do A plus B and A minus B, and 1 divided by X. And some of these are vector-specific, vector dot product and cross product. So, and if you have a matrix, you can also do the number of rows and the number of columns in the matrix, A dot row and A dot columns. You can do the sum of all the values in the columns, column sums. And you can also do the means of all the rows, and you can also calculate the norm, the first norm and the second norm of the matrix. And we also have solvers. So we have linear solvers, solve A, B, and gives you the value C. We'll be looking at an example of this. And for decompositions, in matrix decompositions, we have the QR, Cholesky, and the eigen decomposition, and you have SVD. All of these are in-memory versions. We also have the distributed versions of these. So the distributed decompositions, this happens, this works off of a DRM. So you see the DRM queue and in-memory reduce, and so you can do a thin QR on a DRM matrix, and what you get back is a Q and a R matrix. And similarly, you can do a DSSVD that gives you the UV and the S column, S diagonal matrix. So if folks are familiar with SVD and QR decomposition, it should make sense. Of course, you can also cache the DRMs in between computations. When you're doing power iterations, you can cache the DRMs and checkpoint the DRMs. So for intermediate results, and you can also uncache the DRMs. So we'll be looking at some Zeppelin notebook examples of this. So apart from that, you also have some unary operators. And so for example, the very first example is you're creating a dense matrix of two rows and three columns. and I'm trying to apply the log, compute the log of each element in the matrix. And so this is my output. Similarly, I'm trying to compute the sign of each element in the matrix. So this is how I would do it. These are the unary operators. And continuing on that, you can do the signum. And similarly for DRMs, distributed row matrices, you can read an in-memory matrix and make it create a DRM out of that by calling DRM parallelize. So it's an in-memory matrix, and you can create a distributed row matrix from that. And you can compute the log on the DRM, and you collect the results. So it brings the results back from all the nodes, worker nodes, to the driver. And this is the output you get. So let's look at an example algorithm implementation. So this is a very standard example. So let's say I have all the cereals, and for each cereal, I have the protein content and the carbohydrates and the fat and the sugars and the user rating for that. So this is a standard data set you get from the URL here. And what I'm trying to do is I want to fit a linear regression line through this. So this is the rating. This last column here is the customer rating for this particular cereal. And this is the cereal and the what is in the cereal here, the weights of the carbohydrates and the sugar, the content. So what we want to predict the customer's rating based on the cereal brand and what's in the ingredients of the cereal. So let X be the weight of all the ingredients. So in the previous slide deck, columns 1, 2, 3, and 4, protein, fat, carbohydrates, and sugars would be the value X, would be your X. And the last column, which is the customer rating, would be your Y. And the assumption here is the target variable Y is a linear combination. So it's a linear combination of X times some beta plus some epsilon noise. There's some noise to it. We want to add some noise to the data. And we want to estimate what beta value is, what the value of beta is. This is a linear regression problem. So how do we do that in Mahout Samsara? The first thing you need to do is, you need this data. Let's say this data is sitting on HDFS. So I read the data from HDFS by doing a DRM, DFS read. And it creates, what it does is it's creating a distributed row matrix here. And for example, in our case, the example that I was just showing you, I create a dense matrix and the number of partitions is 2. And I create a dense matrix and I parallelize that and it creates a distributed row matrix. And once I do that, I want to slice and dice the matrix into the X and the Y. So the first 4 columns would be your X, and the Y is the one that you're trying to predict. So how do I get the first 4 columns? I take the DRM data, which is the matrix from the previous slide, what I created here, and I slice that. I take all the rows, and I take only the first 4 columns, 0 until 4. And my Y value would be just collect the last column, the very last column, for all the rows. And then how do I estimate beta? And I use something called ordinary least squares, which is a standard algorithm for this. And basically, it's minimizing the sum of, if you look at the graph here. So if you look at this graph here, when you plot this graph, these are the data points. And you want to minimize the sum of squares of the distance of these points on the line that you're trying to fit. Okay, so let's go back. So the formula for doing that is beta equals X transpose X. And what is X? If you go back to the previous slide, it's your the first 4 columns of your row. And Y is the column you're trying to predict. It's a predictor. So X transpose X, inverse of that, and X transpose Y. And how do you compute X transpose X in Mahout? It's as simple as this. This actual code that's running on Spark and Flink. And I'll show you a workbook with this. So DRMX transpose times DRMX. And X transpose Y is DRMX times transpose times Y. OK, so now, is it a good idea to calculate the inverse of a matrix? Is it a good idea to be calculating the inverse of a matrix? Why? Well, it's number one, it's n cube, order of n cube complexity. And the bigger reason is it's unpredictable sometimes. You can get unpredictable results. So it's not a good idea. if you're ever having to calculate the inverse of a matrix, you're doing something fundamentally wrong. So go back and revisit what you're doing.
So how do you fix this? So X transpose X inverse and X transpose Y, how do you fix that? So this is what we do.
You multiply that on both the sides. So you get that?
So this is what you have,
and this is what you get,
okay? So once you do this, you fetch the X transpose X and X transpose Y onto the driver, you bring it into the driver. Now you may ask, you know, is this going to be a huge matrix, X transpose X? It's not. Even if you have a million rows, but the number of columns is going to be a few, you'll have only a very few columns. And when you do a transpose times X, it's going to be the number of rows and the columns is going to be much smaller than having million rows. It's going to be a much smaller matrix, and it can fit in memory. So you can bring it back to the main driver,
and you do a collect, which gives you the X transpose X, and you collect and give X transpose Y. And how do you calculate beta hat? You just solve that.
And that's a simple algorithm we just implemented in a few lines of code. So let me just switch to the workbooks here, Zeppelin notebook. And I can show the same thing.
So here is an actual Zeppelin notebook with what I just showed you.
So this is code that's going to run on Flink and Spark with just one line of change, just one line that's different.
So for setting up your Mahout Flink context, this is what you do, imports, these are the imports, and you create something called a Flink distributed context.
Similarly for Spark,
these are the imports, pretty much it's the same imports except for, I think this one, Spark bindings, and there you have Flink bindings. And you create a Spark distributed context, okay?
Now let's look at a side-by-side example of what I just showed you on the slides.
So this is the Flink Mahout, and that's the Spark Mahout. So if you look at the first few lines, they are pretty much, the only line here is this is different, and here in Spark, this is different. After that, it's the same code on both the sides. So what we have done is we kind of created a platform agnostic API which can run on Spark and Flink and H2O. As a data scientist, I care less. I don't want to learn Spark, I don't want to learn Flink, okay? I just want to, you know, code up some algorithm, run it, see if it works, tear it down, try something different. I mean, having to worry about how to distribute and parallelize my algorithm is not something I care about, and Mahout does that behind the scenes for you. All that we offer is a Scala, R-like DSL, Scala DSL, which is pretty much what a data scientist wants. So if you look at this, it's the very same, exact same code in Flink and the Mahout versions, Spark versions. And it's completely agnostic to the backend engine. I wish for the last 2 years we were kind of working on this, trying to build a complete abstraction for Spark, Flink, and H2O. And early this year, Google came up with Apache Beam, and I was like, uh-oh, I wish this happened 2 years before. I would have not wasted my time. Yeah. So this, if you run this code, I can run this now, let's see. Anyway, let's let it keep running. So once you do this, you're calculating the same beta value.
And going down the notebook, we now have Apache Mahout, both the Flink versions and the Spark versions as part of Zeppelin project. So it's as of last week, they have both been integrated into Zeppelin. So we pretty much use Zeppelin now for all visualization. We can also import our Mahout DRMs into R and into Python and compute the results in Python.
And we also take advantage of Zeppelin resource pools. So I can create a DRM matrix in Spark and export and save that and export that into Flink and read that in a Flink environment.
So let's see if this is done.
Yeah. So here you're calculating the beta. So we just calculated the beta here. I can take this beta from the Flink and the Spark versions. And I can compare them. I can compare them with what, let's say, a different machine learning library like scikit or R offers and compare the coefficients and see how it differs. So I can actually do that. I can call this in a Python script and compare the Flink beta coefficient and what the Spark version, and how much is the difference between the Flink and the Spark version. So you see here, it's not much different. It's pretty close, both the Flink versions and the Spark versions. And I can also plot data from Mahout, from a Mahout DRM in R. So this is an example. Here in the Flink version, I'm creating a symmetric uniform matrix with 5,000 rows and two columns and a random seed of 1234. And I'm trying to compute the sine function of each element in the matrix. And so this is what this code is doing here, mat.sine. And then I can plot the results in R using ggplot. And this is what you would get. So here, this is the red is Flink and the blue is Spark. This is from a Mahout DRM into R, exporting that into an R environment. Similarly, for Spark, I can, this is a different example here. You're creating a Gaussian matrix. It's a uniform Gaussian matrix, pretty much same as what you just saw. And here I'm trying to do a 3D plot of that. And this is again being done in R, exporting your DRM into an R environment. And this is what you would see, the 3D plot Gaussian surface. And yeah, any questions so far? So the point, what I want to highlight is, we now have a DSL which is agnostic to the backend, Flink and Spark, and it runs on both Flink and Spark, and with zero lines of code that need to be changed. So do you see any Spark code anywhere here in this? Do you see any RDDs, anything like that? Or any Flink datasets in this code? No. So we have pretty much abstracted out everything under the hood, and we take care of all the parallelization, and you just, as a data scientist, I just want to write my algorithms. I don't want to worry about how do I distribute this in Spark and how do I distribute this in Flink? How do I deal with the backend engines? So we kind of abstracted out the entire thing. Okay. So let's move on. So once you have implemented this algorithm, the next thing you want to do is you want to calculate the goodness of it. How good is my beta value? And the way to do that is you take your y and you take your beta and you take your x and you calculate the L2 norm or the second norm, Euclidean norm. And this is the exact code for doing that, the actual code for doing that. It's a very simple, just one liner. And it's distributed, okay? So that's a big thing here. Every line of code here is distributed behind the scenes. Okay, so you calculate the y hat, you take the DRMX, and you multiply that with the beta you calculated in the previous slide. And you collect the results, and you calculate the norm, the second norm, y minus y hat, and the second norm. And that gives you how good your fit is. So the one thing we have not done is, if you go back to the earlier equation, the very first equation about linear regression, we have not accounted for this bias term here, epsilon term here. So, and how do we add that to a matrix? How do you do that in R? If anyone's familiar with R, how would you add a column in R to a matrix? So, the way it's done in R is, you take the matrix, you say C bind, and one, and I have a new column of all ones, all the values are one. So the same syntax here, distributed, DRMX, C bind 1, it adds the bias term with all the values as 1. It's a whole new column in the DRM matrix. And so that's pretty much the R syntax. You can also do a row bind. You can add a new row by using something called R bind, which is again from R, from the R world. And you can slice and dice your matrix just like you do in R. So any questions so far? So if you're an R programmer and you're a data scientist coming from the R world, this is your distributed R, which is agnostic to backend engines. There it is. Runs on Flink, Spark, and H2O. And you would care less for Spark or Flink or H2O, how they work internally. Any questions so far? Yeah. I was hoping you would not ask that. So it's not a, we do have some metrics, but it's not apples to apples comparison. And the reasons for that is because the architecture of Spark and Flink are so very different. And moreover, this is using Spark Batch and it's using Flink Batch APIs. And Spark, of course, offers you a cache, RDD cache, wherein you can cache the intermediate results and you can checkpoint your distributed row matrix. Whereas Flink does not have that in their Batch API. So it's kind of like, oh, I need to write it to disk, read from disk every iteration. If you're going through power iterations, you have to read, write. It's an order of magnitude much slower. But for some very simple operations like calculating the column means of a matrix, we find that Flink is much faster than R. And we are on Flink 1.1.3, which is the latest, and Spark 1.6.2. So that's. So we'll look at that. I'll get to that. So the currently supported backend engines are Spark and Flink. Of course, yeah, H2O2, but H2O is something that we are trying to deprecate because number one, nobody's ever asked for it, and no one's using it, and no one's maintaining it, and none of us are even testing it. We just have bandwidth only for Spark and Flink right now. So looking at the architecture, this is how the architecture is currently, but this is going to change with the native optimizations that are coming up. So you, at the very bottom, you have an Encore MahoutMath, which is a linear algebra library, and you have a H2O matrix. And you have Apache Spark and Flink sitting on top of this, and H2O on top of that. And then as a data scientist, I'm at the very top layer, application code, that's what I'm writing. And I'm using Scala's DSL, which is a syntactic sugar for coding up your algorithms. And that's being converted into a logical DAG, which is converted into a physical plan, which is kind of converted into a physical plan, and it's optimized based on your best execution path. And it translated into the appropriate Flink, Spark, and H2O physical translation layers on the back end. So the runtime and the optimization is, so if I'm computing the product of two matrices, A transpose times A, the execution of this is deferred until the values for these are fetched, and it's a lazy evaluation. Okay. So some of the matrix multiplication operators we have is, we have five different multiplication operators for doing a DRM to DRM matrix multiply. So some of the matrices could be tall and skinny. So you have a million rows and only three columns. It's a tall and skinny matrix. So there is a different optimization path for that as compared to a fat and tall matrix. So based on your size of the matrix and the different parameters and certain thresholds that we have, it's a heuristic thresholds, we pick the best execution path for translating your logical DSL that you have created into a physical execution, into a physical path. So these are some of the things. So for example, if I'm trying to do a transpose times matrix, the most efficient way of doing that is do a square, self-square of it, the same matrix, and we'll look at an example of that. And you can also zip and partition your data sets, your DRM data sets. So zip when you have identical number of rows, and when you have join, use join when you have the number of rows vary between your different DRMs. For example, I can zip two DRMs that have the same number of rows, and I use a join when the number of rows in both the matrices vary. So we also do some algebraic rewriting of your DAG for optimization, for the best execution path, to pick the best execution path. And some of this, based on whether it's a slim matrix or a tall and skinny matrix or a wide matrix, we do a different physical translation of that. So let's look at a simple optimization. So what I'm trying to do here is compute A transpose times A. And how do you do that? So the first thing I need to do is I have a matrix A, I need to transpose that. It's a two-pass algorithm. I need to transpose A. So when you transpose A, you need to repartition the entire matrix, okay? Because you're swapping out the rows and the columns. And you need to send the data over to all the machines over the network. It's a huge network IO. And you need to reshuffle the data set, okay, which results in one huge complete transfer of data. So the second pass, I would multiply the result of A transpose with A. And this is a distributed matrix multiplication, which again is an expensive operation. And you'll again end up repartitioning your data. So basically, you're sending two copies of the data twice over the network. The first time when you're doing a transpose, and the second time when you're doing a multiply. So is this the most efficient way of doing it? So screw that. That's not the way to do it. So what we do is something called transpose times self. OK, so what is that? So basically, what we're doing behind the scenes is when you have a computation like this, instead of doing a two-pass algorithm, we are optimizing that
to rewrite the logical plan to do a transpose time self. So what is transpose time self? So basically, transpose time self is, it's using something called a row outer join product formulation in linear algebra. So this is my A transpose A, which is kind of a summation of all the elements in AI and AI transpose. So basically, you're taking every row of A, and you're computing the row outer sum product, row outer product with itself, and then computing the sum. And you're summing up all the results. So the cool thing is that if the matrix is partitioned by the number of rows, then you're computing the row outer product of each row in the mapper, and in the reduced phase, you're just taking all the rows, the sum of all the rows, and computing the total matrix. So let's see how this works. So this is my matrix A, and that's my transpose. So I take the first row of A transpose and A, I multiply them together. I take the second row of A transpose A, and I compute the sums. Third, four, so on. And finally, this happens in the map phase, and finally in the reduced phase, all that I have to do is add them all up together to get the A transpose A summation. So it's a one-pass algorithm now. So we do many kinds of this linear algebraic called optimizations behind the scenes for the best execution, for the optimal execution. This is one of the examples that I just showed you. So most of the MapReduce code that we had in the old Mahout has now been ported over to the new Scala DSL, especially the ones like singular value decomposition and principal component analysis and naive-based classifier, and of course the recommenders. And so what we had seen is, we had seen a massive change in the number of lines of code. The old MapReduce code in Java for SSVD, it was 2,500 lines, and now it's down to 32 lines with this. Similarly, for PCA, it was 2,500, we are down to 68 lines of code. So that's the difference. And because most of the distributed and the parallelization and the number of mappers, reducers, the map functions and the reduce functions are all gone, it's behind the scenes. All that you do is focus on your algorithm, write your algorithm, done. So any questions so far before I go to the next one? So yeah, these are the ThinQR, Stochastic SVD, and Stochastic PCA. So I have a demo coming up on Stochastic SVD. So any questions so far on what you've seen? So basically what we have is, we have all the algebraic constructs for you, and it's agnostic to the backend engine. You go code your algorithm, don't worry about parallelization. And you can visualize your results in R, or export them to Python. And you can see we have been using ggplot in R for most of the visualizations. So yeah, we have the complete end-to-end thing now. Any questions? Okay. So what you had just seen in the previous slides is the logical plan and, you know, how it is getting optimized. So let's look at some of the physical operators. For example, if I'm trying to do the A transpose A, we just saw that in the previous slide, how is it being done physically? So there are two operators for this. One is the standard operator, A transpose A, and the other one is A transpose A slim. Slim is for tall and skinny matrices, so they need to be handled a slightly different way. When you're optimizing them, they have to be optimized differently from the standard matrix. And so we have two special operators. So based on your matrix size and a certain threshold that you have set up in the code, it decides, the optimizer picks the best physical execution plan for the algorithm. It's all done behind the scenes. So right now the threshold is the number of user-defined columns. So if your number of columns is greater than, let's say, 20 or 30, yeah, then we go with the standard operator. If it's less than 20, then we go with the thin, skinny operator. So this is about Samsara and all the Samsara map DSL so far. So let's go into some of the few things that are the other things that have been happening in the Mahout world. And this slide was just added 20 minutes before I walked into this room. And Sean, this would be of interest to you. This is from, so we do have a recommender, a search-based recommender called correlated cross occurrence. Okay, that's a name that Ted Dunning came up with for this. It's a search-based recommender. And it's now part of Prediction.io. It's also part of Prediction.io as one of the templates. And so we are going to publish a paper on this soon. So there'll be a paper coming out on this soon. And so here, what you're seeing here is,
basically you're computing the similarities between users. If you're familiar with recommender systems, compute the similarities between users and store them in Elasticsearch. And then similarly, you can also do content-based recommendations and put them in Elasticsearch. And then you can unify both the content-based recommenders and user similarity-based recommenders. And you have a unified universal recommender now, which is a search-based recommender. And based on the user's history and the user's conversion, you can compute. You can make better recommendations for the user. And we are using something called a log likelihood ratio for computing that, which is what LLR means. And you can read up on this particular link. Also, there's a Ted Dennings blog about log likelihood ratio from 2011, which is probably the reference for this. So this is something new that I just added in the last 20 minutes before I walked in, and because it was a big news. So today, we just saw a demo about a simple linear regression algorithm and how to implement that in a Zeppelin notebook. The other thing I would like to show is something called distributed SSVD. So how many of you have, who is familiar with SVD and what it means? Okay, singular value decomposition. So what is stochastic SVD? Well, stochastic SVD is, an exact algorithm. Stochastic SVD is a near approximation algorithm. And it's kind of like a trade-off between accuracy and performance. So it makes some trade-offs. So Mahout has a distributed SSVD, and the implementation is based on Nathan Halko's PhD dissertation, which is a link here. And Nathan was one of the first guys, first contributed this, the MapReduce version back in 2012 to the project. And so now we ported the entire thing over to Spark and Flink, and the number of lines of code from what Nathan had to where we are now is what you see here. So the MapReduce version was 2,500 lines, now we're down to 32 and 68 lines. So anyways, so credit to Nathan for coming up with this algorithm and its thesis. So basically, if you think in a singular value decomposition, you have a very large matrix, and then you're trying to compute lower ranked, trying to decompose that into a lower ranked matrix, and you have a singular vectors, eigenvectors of left, right, and you have a diagonal singular values, eigenvalues. So we have a distributed SSVD. And if you had to do this in Spark or let's say in MLlib and in the old Mahout MapReduce, it was a huge line of, you had to write a huge program for this. Now all that you have to do is just one line. That's it, done. So that's the input to this is a distributed row matrix. And K is, you know, the number of the number of columns or the dimensions that you want to handle. And P is a sampling factor, and the default value for this is 15. This is, again, if for more details on this, I didn't want to go into the math. You may want to read up the dissertation. He's got several different ways of doing this. There are several different ways. You just pick one of the best ways out there. And Q is the number of power iterations. So this is actually using a power iteration algorithm. So how many iterations do you want to run this through? So the values are typically Q equal to 0 and 1, and it's usually 0. You want to set it to 0. Unless you want to spend more time and you know you have more computing power, you can set it to 1. But beyond 1, it really doesn't make a difference. 2, 3, 4 don't make a difference. And when you pick the values of K and P, you make sure that they satisfy this condition here, that K plus P is less than the rank of A, the input matrix A. And the rank of A is basically the upper bound of that is the minimum of the number of rows and the number of columns in the matrix. So I have a demo today which is going to use this SSVD and for computing something called eigenfaces. And folks are familiar with what eigenfaces is? Okay, so it's kind of like eigenvectors for human face recognition. And that's the Wikipedia reference for that. Basically, you have an input set of images and you want to compute a smaller basis of vectors that represent the original set of images. It's a much smaller basis. And you represent those images as a collection of weights for the different image, as a basis of the collection of weights. And then I have a new image that comes in. I can predict this image is most likely similar to this other image in the original training set. And by doing a nearest neighbor computation. And it could be as simple as doing a Euclidean distance between two vectors and seeing what is the, which vector is the closest to the query vector. So let's go back to the Zeppelin notebooks. So yeah, this is an eigenfaces demo. And I'm using a very standard data set, faces in the wild data set. And the first few paragraphs in the notebook, you download the faces, put them in HDFS, and then if you list the content, these are some of the images that you see. So of all these guys, the only folk I know is Beckenbauer and Kenneth Branagh. Okay, the only two people I know. So now what we're trying to do is, this is our input data set. It's got about 13,000 images. And I'm trying to compute the eigenfaces. So I'm trying to create an eigenfaces training model for making predictions. Okay? So, and I want to do this in Mahout Samsara. So now for processing the images, we are importing a library called SK Samuel ScryImage. It's a Scala library. And that's what I'm doing here. And I'm not going to run this here because some of this vectorization, they take 40 minutes and this is running on a 3-node Spark cluster right now. And it's on a shared environment, so it's going to take at least 40 minutes to complete. So I'm not going to run the demo here. I just ran it before I came into the room. So you set up your Mahout Spark context, which is, again, this one line of code. And the next step is you create a distributed row matrix of your vectorized images. So this is a standard Spark syntax. You read the binary files, which is reading all the images. And then you convert that binary files into grayscale, which is what you would do for any image processing, standard step. So you convert that into grayscale, and which is what this line is doing here. And then you convert that into a dense vector. Dense vector is a Mahout dense vector. And then I create this. It's creating an RDD for me, RDD of dense vector, RDD of integers. And then I wrap that into a Mahout DRM by doing a DRM wrap of RDD. So that's how you create a Mahout DRM from an RDD. This is the way to do it. And I'm setting the parallelization to 500. For this, and I want to cache the DRM. Once the images are computed and they're vectorized and grayscaled out, I want to checkpoint the DRM, which is storing it as a temporary cache, so which is what this code is doing here. So this is all Scala, standard Spark, and probably this is the only Mahout line of code here. Basically, you're creating an RDD, and you export the RDD into a Mahout DRM. So this is basically you're creating a DRM of vectorized images. You're converting the images here into grayscale and converting them into a DRM of pixels, grayscale pixels. Now the second step in eigenfaces is, if you look at this Wikipedia for eigenfaces, so here, the first step is you prepare a training set of face images and then you vectorize them and you convert them into grayscale and vectorize them. And so I'm creating a DRM here. The second step is subtract the mean. Okay, the average image has to be calculated and then subtracted. So let's go back here. So that's what I'm doing here in the second step. Subtract the means column-wise. I'm doing a column mean subtraction in Spark. And this is a new Mahout code that's come in now. And I'm creating a different DRM now. I'm creating a different DRM with all the... So the DRM I have here from the previous paragraph, I take that as input. Images DRM, and I transform that, and I do a subtraction, column mean subtraction, and I create a different DRM, and I checkpoint that. Now the next step in the algorithm is to compute the SVD, okay, calculate the eigenvectors and eigenvalues, which is what this is doing now. So I take the DRM from SM images, and I take that, and I'm setting k equal to 20. I want to decompose that into 20 basis vectors, and the sampling factor is 15, and the q which is so the sampling factor is 15, and I run DS SVD on this. And the output of SVD is you get three matrices. You get a U, V, and a singular vector of single values, eigenvalues, singular values. So which is what you have here, DRM U, DRM V, and S. And so you can see the contents of that. So if I print out the DRM U, this is what it looks like. And the eigenfaces, the images would be in the U vector. And if you print out the contents of U vector, It's like for each image in the original data set, it assigns that as a linear combination of every other image with the weights. So these are the weights. This is image zero. Image zero is a combination of this many times zero plus 0.4 times one plus that, plus that. It's a linear combination. So that's your basis vectors. So this is again linear algebra. So this is my, once I have this, I can make predictions. I can do pretty much, I can do a facial recognition. So if a new image comes in, if I get a Putin's image, I can say, oh, yeah, this is Donald Trump. Yeah, it's eigen decomposition from Donald Trump is Putin. So there you go. So as a linear combination of Putin. So, and you can write those images to disk, okay? And if you print out those eigenfaces, what you see is something like this, the grayscale images. This is your basis vector. So once I have this and a new image comes in, I can do a distance computation with this basis set. I can project it onto this data set and see how close it is and how close it is to any of these images and what is it most likely like. Or it could be that it's not close to any of the images, it's a completely new image, then I can just add that to the training set. The question obviously is, how is this any different from deep learning face recognition? And why would you use this and not deep learning, right? Well, deep learning obviously has a very high training cost, and you need a GPUs, you need to be able to use GPUs for that. It comes with a very high training cost, it takes much longer to train on GPU deep learning models, whereas this is a simple matrix decomposition technique based on your input. And of course, deep learning can do other things that this cannot do. This is only for face, and your images have to be centered for this algorithm to work well. So all the faces have to be centered in the images. Any questions so far on this? Okay, so switch back to PowerPoint. Okay, so we saw this, and we saw the demo, and let's go back into... So these are some of the plottings we have. We are completely integrated with Zeppelin now, and you can pretty much look at your plots in Zeppelin. So Mahout is officially part of the Zeppelin project. We have a plugin for Mahout in Zeppelin. And this is, for example, I just showed you a few plots here. So if I'm trying to do a 3D plot of of a Mahout DRM with 10,000 data points, sampling of 10,000 Gaussian distributed data points, and this is how it would look like. Similarly, this, I'm taking the same thing and I'm doing it for 5,000 data points, and that's for 10,000. And you can also do many other plots. It's all part of Zeppelin. This is standard Zeppelin stuff. But so far, we spent the last 2 years working on supporting Flink and Spark. And guess what? One of the guys who is actually using this at work tried running this on native MPI and trying to benchmark that with Spark. And native MPI was light years faster, much, much faster as compared to Spark. So we kind of realized that, okay, I think, you know, we are not really seeing the performance that you would expect with Spark and Flink backends. So why don't we, I think what we need to do is, we also should be able to run Mahout on GPUs and CPUs in a hybrid mode, and we just cannot be confined only to a Spark and Flink distributed clusters. We want to be able to support distributed execution running in CPUs in memory, as well as on GPUs, and doing it transparently. And so what we did is, what's coming up next is this new architecture. So we have a math library called VNRCL, and it supports both GPU and CPU support, and it's multi-threaded. And Deep Learning for J project has something called Java CPP, which is kind of bridging the gap between the JVM and the native C++ world. So using Java CPP and VNRCL, we have support for native optimizations coming in. And this should be out in the next 1 month, in the next release, which is 0.13. And you should be able to run Mahout on GPUs, on Flink and Spark, and natively without Flink and Spark.
We actually have it running on Flink and Flink on GPU now. So I think we are the first project to run Flink on GPU, probably. And so this is going to be the new architecture. So we can support both OpenMCL, OpenCL, and OpenMP. And this is, we have definitely seen a huge performance improvement once we move to the native optimizations compared to what we had with Spark or Flink. Yeah, and this is how we have GPU integration coming in the next release. So this is how it's going to look like. So if you have a cluster of GPUs, and this is how you would partition your data, your distributed row matrix, across a GPU cluster. And yeah, and as I said, we have Spark and Flink integrated as part of Apache Zeppelin, and the support for GPUs and native optimizations. So next month, we have a NIPS, Neural Information Processing Conference in Barcelona. And the Mahut Samsara paper, whatever I just talked about, has been accepted for the machine learning workshop. So obviously, this is a project that has no paid committers. And it's pretty much everyone working on voluntary time out of passion and just because they like doing something. I had to give credit to the team. So Anand is the guy who created the H2O backend interface. Andrew Musselman is based out of Seattle. And Andrew Palumbo is the guy who has added the native optimization of VNSCL backend. Dimitri, of course, is the brain behind this entire new Samsara DSL. He is the brain behind this. Nathan Halko is his thesis for SSVD algorithm that he's implemented. Pat Farrell is the guy who created the co-occurrence recommenders, search-based recommenders, which is now being used in Prediction.io and many other projects. Sebastian was, some of the co-occurrence recommenders were based on Sebastian's papers from his PhD thesis. Trevor is the guy who's worked on the Zeppelin and Mahut integration for the past 3 months that we have now had him. Of course, credit to the old guard, Sean, who's there. Isabel, Ted Dunning, Grant Ingersoll, Jake Mannix, Drew Farris, and the founders of Mahut project. And we have extensive documentation on Mahut at the website. And of course, you can look at Dimitri's blog. Last but not the least, we have a book. I have a copy of the book here. So it's on Amazon. And I think it was $12 this morning when I checked on Amazon. So definitely get the book. And yeah, I will have to warn you that you need to have a linear algebra course before you read the book. It's very heavy on math. And of course, sign up for the mailing list, and that's our Twitter handle. Any questions? How are we doing on time? Sorry.
Yeah. Any questions?
Hey, I'm curious if the sparsity of the matrix is ever a reason to pick a different physical execution plan in Mahut or in Samsara. You talked about the different physical executions, yeah. If the sparsity of a matrix is ever a reason to pick one approach versus another.
Yes, sparsity of the matrix is one, and also the number of columns. If it's not a sparse matrix, the number of columns too. That's again a heuristic threshold we have. If it's greater than X number of columns, then you don't do the thin computation. You just go with the regular computation, standard computation. Otherwise, you go with the skinny computation. So it's some heuristics that we have built into the plan.
So you keep around metadata like that in order to make a prompt choice about all the matrices? Like, are they sufficiently dense?
I didn't get the question, sorry.
So is there metadata associated with all those matrices of how dense they are, right? In such a way that, or do you have to
You can print out the number of columns and the number of rows. Once you have the matrix, you can actually do a dot n calls, which is R syntax, n rows, which gives you the number of rows. It's pretty much like R. If you can do that in R, you can do it in Mahut, Samsara.
Any final questions? Okay, thanks a lot for ending the session. Please give a big round of applause for the speaker.